This is KUOW's The Record. On Twitter, at KUOW, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. A wake-up call is what Seattle's Chamber of Commerce said last week when Amazon announced it wants to set up a second headquarters in a different North American city. Not everyone had that reaction, including Seattle City Councilmember Shama Sawant. Thanks for coming in, Councilmember.
Thank you.
You said that companies like Amazon are holding us hostage. What evidence do you have of that?
Well, look at the context that we are having this discussion in. Amazon is led by Jeff Bezos, who in July was the richest man in the world and right now has a net worth of $82 billion. Amazon's stock value hovers around $500 billion. And last year alone, they made $2.37 billion of profit. And they've had the ability to preside over the most prime Seattle real estate. And at the same time, the homelessness crisis is exploding. We have an acute shortage of affordable housing. And day after day, tens of thousands of working people who are finding it very hard to maintain a foothold in the city are being pushed out. And in fact, the affordability crisis is now spilled over to the greater Seattle region.
But what makes you think this headquarters announcement is a hostage take?
If you think about it, it's quite reminiscent of what happened with the case of Boeing. You know, when Boeing moved its headquarters to Chicago, and then all of what's happened since then, it's always been this story where corporations say, well, if you don't give us the most favorable conditions ever, then we will move or we will cut jobs. And the story of Boeing, the moral of the story of Boeing is that the city and the state can do everything they that corporations want, and they will still do what they want. Boeing got the single largest ever corporate giveaway, in late 2013, and they still cut jobs. They still attacked the unions. And so, what is this? This to me seems like it's like a game show, and the game show host is a multi-billionaire, one of the six richest people in the world, who gets to decide the rules of the game, and he says jump, and the cities are going to say how high.
Also with us, we're talking here with Seattle City Councilmember Shama Sawant, and also here to debate what Seattle's response to Amazon ought to be, what should Seattle's relationship with Amazon be, Washington State's Republican Party Chair Susan Hutchison. Welcome back, Susan.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Good to see you again. You said this is Boeing deja vu in a way, right? But what does the announcement by Amazon signal to you?
Well, one of the things that the councilwoman probably doesn't know because she wasn't here at the time, Boeing moved 250 jobs. That's all. That moved to Chicago. But what it did was it demoralized this region. It basically brought an end to the 20-year Seattle renaissance that began in 1981. And so as people kind of woke up to this idea that Seattle wasn't as ideal as people thought it was, they began to worry. And that's, I think, what's happening now is that people are beginning to worry about what this announcement means.
And but didn't Seattle shake off that Boeing announcement and look where Seattle is now?
Well, you know, during that period of time, I call the Renaissance, we had a lot of major companies move into the region. Boeing, of course, had been here for decades. Nordstrom had too, and then it began to expand in a very exciting way. And also Starbucks, Costco, Microsoft, obviously, because that set off much of the Renaissance. But it was also the arts and the culture, which go hand in hand with the success of jobs and growth in the corporate world.
But the council member is saying we gave Washington State, gave Boeing big tax breaks, and they're still regularly pushing jobs out of Washington State and or playing one off the other, playing right-to-work states off of our state. So could we be any friendlier toward Amazon, and would it do any good?
Yeah, you know, I'm part of the Boeing company. My husband worked there for 34 years, just recently retired, and so I know Boeing really well. And, you know, they created a new airplane, and so who was going to build that new airplane? They're not obligated to build the plane anywhere that someone like the councilwoman says they should do. They found a better place to build it with very happy employees who wanted to be the workers on that plane, and they've continued to build out that facility in South Carolina. Just because the Boeing company was founded here, 100 years ago doesn't mean that they're obligated to stay here. And I think it's so disingenuous of the councilwoman to say that, because she has made this city so anti-business, so anti-common sense.
She's single-handedly made Seattle anti-business?
Absolutely. She runs that city council. And quite frankly, she's the tail that wags the dog in Olympia with the Democrats.
All of the problems,
homelessness, traffic, drug addiction, and affordable housing, all of those are related to the monopoly that the Democrats have in government in this city.
Let's pause there. That's Washington State Republican Party Chair Susan Hutchison, along with the very powerful city council member Shama Sawant, and Todd Bishop, GeekWire editor and co-founder. Good to see you again, Todd.
Good to see you, Bill.
You report on Amazon and the tech industry, and you said if we're not careful, Seattle could become the next Detroit. What did you mean by that?
I think Seattle and its leaders needs to take a step back and appreciate, as a first step, what Amazon has brought to this community. Now, let me give a big to be sure, and that is the request for tax breaks was not a good move on Amazon's part. It was tone deaf. The notion that this company would go out and publicly request billions of dollars in tax breaks from communities, some of whose Main Street retailers have been decimated by its own success, I think was tone deaf at best.
This was part of Amazon's announcement last week. They said we want it to be a big city, a million plus, and airport access and mass transit, well-educated labor force, universities, available land, and they asked for stable and business-friendly regulations and tax structure, and as you say, incentives like subsidies, tax credits.
Not the best public relations move that Amazon could have made. I think it is on both the city's leaders and Amazon's leaders to take this moment in the city's history to come together to figure out solutions, actual solutions to the civic issues that the council member is raising and all of the problems, the traffic issues, the homelessness. You know, Amazon has done some of that, putting a permanent homeless shelter in one of its new buildings, but it needs to be much more. I think the company should set aside the option for its employees to have something like 10% of their time, almost like Google's 20% time. But with Amazon, it could be devoted to solving civic issues, actual civic innovation. This is the company that figured out how to deliver packages by drone. Why are we in this city not engaging them with them to take those innovative minds and apply them to the problems of our city as an example for everybody else? Everybody to do this.
You're talking about engaging with Amazon and Amazon doing voluntary things, though, right?
Yes.
I mean, Councilmember Sawant, you're talking about taxing Amazon, I assume, at a higher rate than we do, not hoping for Amazon to be voluntarily helpful?
Right. And I want to be super clear. Amazon is a peculiar company. They use that word themselves. They are closed off. They do not make this easy. And that is why I'm saying this is on both the city's leaders and Amazon's leaders to step up to solve these problems.
Councilmember, what do you want Seattle to do any differently regarding Amazon than it's doing right now? What's one thing you're calling for?
Well, I don't think it can be boiled down to one thing. Obviously, Bill, you correctly mentioned the question of taxing big corporations. That's definitely true. And in fact, it's a huge problem at the state level that we don't have that. In fact, companies like Boeing and Microsoft effectively pay a negative tax rate, meaning if you count in the subsidies that they get from the most regressive tax system in the entire nation, they actually get more money in their pockets. And you know, I think we have to talk about, first of all, like where we are. I mean, Amazon has issued this, as John Talton correctly called it today in the Seattle Times, potentially an ominous possibility of a loss of jobs from here. But look at the conditions in which this has happened. This has happened at a time when clearly, when I retailed all these numbers, Amazon's net worth, the amount of wealth, just stratospheric amount of wealth that Jeff Bezos and other billionaires have made.
We talked about that. I'm wondering what Seattle should do.
The reason I'm mentioning that is because all of that has happened, and yet the Chamber of Commerce is saying, you know, we haven't said thank you enough, and that
it's never too late. That is what the chair said. We haven't said thank you.
And it's never too late to say we're sorry. For what? I mean,
are they saying
that the policies that have been, the few worker-friendly policies that have been passed so far because of mass movements, I think Ms. Hutchison attributes too much power to me alone. This is because of mass movements. And certainly it matters that the mass movements have their voice in city council. But on what basis, just monetarily, let's just look at the numbers. On what basis is the Chamber of Commerce saying that somehow there are deplorable conditions for Amazon to thrive and now they are looking for another city, and so the city needs to learn? No, I would say actually the exact opposite. Workers should not say that they're sorry. As a matter of fact, the only solution out of this problem, Bill, is for workers in all cities to reject a perverse race to the bottom. Because think about it. I mean, you talked about some of the features of the request for proposals, but I want your listeners to think about the fact that one corporation issues a request for proposals, an RFP, to entire cities. Who are these cities? These are not just ethereal entities. Cities are made up of hundreds of thousands, millions of working people, most of whom in America, not just in Seattle, are struggling to survive. And one corporation gets to issue an RFP in which they say that one of the incentives they want is tax credits and exemptions. And then in another section of their RFP, they say, if any of these incentives are uncertain or not guaranteed, they say, please describe these factors. Can you imagine
Council
the uncertainty
Member,
that working people face?
I have a quick question I want to get at, and I want to go to Susan Hutchison. You called this announcement ominous yourself, Councilmember Sawant. Are you worried about a loss of jobs from Amazon? What is your goal? Is it for Amazon to leave and pull out and be somewhere else? What is your goal?
My goal, as I've always stated, and it should not be any mystery to anybody, my goal is that working people everywhere in every city in America are able to achieve a very high standard of living, which is clearly affordable.
Okay, so Amazon has made it less affordable here. Are you saying we'd rather not have those jobs?
I don't think it's a question of one person or one billionaire. What's happening with Amazon is symptomatic of the nature of the economic system we live in, you know, in under capitalism, where one corporation has so much power vested in itself that entire cities of millions of people have no rights. I mean, I'll ask you a simple question. When was the last time that the working people of any city were able to issue an RFP to the leaders of that city, the elected officials, saying, we want a city that is absolutely affordable and livable. We want rent.
Okay, well, we do that at the ballot box when politicians run for office. It's an RFP. I want to get from Susan Hutchison. Chair of the Republican Party, should the city of Seattle and Washington State ask anything more of Amazon, demand anything more, tax more of Amazon, more money to pay for roads and buses, more money to offset these home price increases? Should we be asking anything more of Amazon?
Well, my question is, how much money does this city need? Their budget has increased 35% in the last 4 years. Nobody's budget has increased 35%. And all of that is revenue that has come out of this economic machine that is Amazon.
It's, doesn't that prove that growth doesn't seem to pay for itself? Here we get more congestion and less affordability.
Let's talk about money well spent. That's the issue. And I guarantee you that if we had a Republican mayor and Republican council members, you would suddenly see things getting done instead of the...
Like they're getting done in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I'm not talking about Washington, D.C., but we've got a fantastic group of Republican legislators who have gotten a lot done in fully funded education when the Democrats refused to do it for more than a decade. So the bottom line is that the Amazon machine, the engine of our economic growth in the city and the tremendous job creator that it is, has been very, very good for Seattle. And I don't know what this race to the bottom about workers' conditions. Have you been in those apartments in South Lake Union? A huge improvement over the squalid empty buildings that were there for years in that South Lake Union area. It was ripe for a company to come in and offer fair market value for the land so that they could build new buildings that were LEED, sustainable, and desirable places for people to work, not to mention all of the support services that surrounds a campus like the Amazon campus. There's no question that there are thousands of jobs that are related to Amazon as well.
Todd Bishop from GeekWire, you brought up you used the word Detroit. Is this a choice between Silicon Valley and Detroit? I mean, what if Seattle just let Amazon diversify itself and build somewhere else? And what if we were more a city on the par of Minneapolis or Pittsburgh or Madison? And those are lovely cities. Isn't the Detroit face a choice awfully unnecessarily stark?
Sure, it is. Those are the two extremes, Silicon Valley and Detroit. But that said, we need to recognize that the dominance of these companies is not permanent. You look at IBM, you look at even Microsoft for a time, Kodak, all of these companies were the Amazons of their time, and look at the cities that they were in. You know, Rochester, New York with Kodak, it's been decimated essentially with the exit and the decline of that company. So we need to recognize that this is not something we can take for granted. And listening to the council member, I am concerned about the tone of some of the rhetoric. I don't think it's constructive. I don't think it leads to actual solutions. I think it plays to the base. It does get people reelected, but ultimately it does not serve the long-term needs of this community, which is what our elected leaders should be doing.
We're taking your questions. What do you want to know about Amazon putting a new headquarters outside of Seattle? Ben asks us on KOW's Facebook page, it's convenient to make this into a political issue, but is it really? Do you think it's possible that Amazon has simply outgrown Seattle and that its business demands a white-collar expansion into another city? So, Todd, is Amazon really, is this really about what Amazon is not getting from Seattle, or is this just a big company putting eggs in different baskets? Are we exaggerating how much this is about us?
I think there is certainly that potential, although it's hard not to take it personally when this company has made this city its home and made a point of building out the urban core and really focusing on Seattle. It's hard not to take it personally living here and caring about the technology community when they say that they need to go somewhere else. It's almost like you've been married to somebody for a while and they decided to start dating. No big deal, honey. I'm going to still stay with you.
Mm-hmm. That's Todd Bishop from GeekWire. Councilmember Shah Massawant, aren't these Amazon jobs exactly the kinds of jobs that we do want here? They're more about innovation than about taking resources from the earth and polluting, and these jobs are more about the future than about the past. I mean, not every company is the same, and isn't Amazon exactly the kind of company Seattle should be courting?
Well, I think that we should be clear that what we should be aiming for, obviously, is a society that does take advantage of technological innovation, economies of scale, and ease of access to goods and services. I don't think that if I was presenting a Luddite backward view or vision of society, anybody would be interested in that. And certainly we would not have built mass movements around my campaigns and actually won significant victories. So really it comes down to what kind of society do you want? Are you willing to accept the status quo, which is what's on offer under capitalism, where the best you can get? I mean, the worst is, of course, completely defunct economies that like Detroit, and that's not what we want, obviously. I think that's very clear.
But you heard Susan Hutchison describe these environmentally thoughtful and high-paid jobs.
The Boeing company and Amazon are to nationalize those companies. So if you don't want to be Detroit, do you want to be Venezuela? You know, that's exactly what they did. And that's why Venezuela is in a spiral and
that's not
downward.
Why,
and the people there are rising up against their government.
That's not why it's happening. But let's stick to Seattle.
It's absolutely true. Are not socialist, I have to tell you.
If I might,
Shama,
talk about...
Your words are communist.
Let's hear her
You're
words.
Marxist.
Let's hear her words.
I think let's focus on concrete things. I mean, I think Todd brought up a good point, which is what are the long-term needs of people? Okay, let's look at the long-term needs of people. That really, you don't have to take my word for it. Stop any regular working person on the street or working in a store and ask them, what are your needs? What are their needs? It's affordable housing in a safe neighborhood so that they can raise
jobs.
Their families in
jobs.
In a decent manner and offer
jobs.
Their children.
Don't
their,
job jobs make that make all that affordable.
Of course, it's jobs. I don't think Ms. Hutchison has come up with something new here. Of course, it's jobs. But it's a question of what section of the society has access to decent living wage unionized jobs. A very small section of the overall population. I'm not in the business of pitting the working people of Seattle against the working people of Minneapolis or Chicago. I don't think that's why I reject this race to the bottom. But the question is, what is the model with which we will be able to deliver living wage, decent living wage unionized jobs with a high standard of living for all workers? And certainly we have seen capitalism miserably fail. Yes, a very, very tiny proportion of workers do get very good salaries if you work in Boeing and Amazon and many other corporations, but the vast majority get left out. And I think that if you look at the way in which corporations produce profits under capitalism, it is not because the billionaires are doing all the work and showing all the creativity and ingenuity. The Boeing executives and billionaires don't build the planes. The workers build the planes. The workers go to work in Amazon and Google and Facebook and make those applications happen. So at the end of the day, you know, Jeff Bezos didn't invent the idea of online shopping. The conveniences, the technological innovation, all of that we want. But what I'm saying is that if you benefit tremendously from this economy, if you're part of the 1%, then you're happy with the status quo. If you're a singularly unambitious person with a very unambitious vision for society, you will accept the status quo. But myself and most of the workers that I know in America, millions, hundreds of millions of them, they're singularly unhappy with what's on offer, which is that corporations make massive profits.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cities are run for profits for a few over people.
Okay.
A few people benefit.
You know, for someone
and the vast
who has
majority
an
don't
degree,
gain
just
any benefits.
And
so ultimately, ultimately, it's not a question.
Pardon me. Can we talk? I want to talk about some specific things.
62% of the company is owned by millions of people, and many of them are teachers, pension savings. Many of them are employees of governments who have pensions. Others are mom and pop who have just been saving with their IRAs. Some of them are my employees who all they have is
out
SEP IRAs.
By reality.
They're in their 20s.
Yeah. Everybody listening
so
knows that this is not
true. People are trying
true.
To save for their futures, and they invest in mutual funds or other institutions that allow them to grow a nest egg for their future. That's reality. It doesn't happen without jobs and without economic growth.
State Republican Chair Susan Hutchison, Socialist City Councilman Member Sean Masawant. We also have GeekWire co-founder Todd Bishop here. Todd, some specifics about what Seattle may or may not do. Do we know that Amazon was annoyed or more by Seattle's adopting an income tax? Do we know that, or just we guessing?
We don't know that specifically, and in fact, that is one of the issues here. Amazon is very closed off and does not communicate publicly. You had to do a lot of reading between the lines in their public website about the HQ2, as they're calling it, to kind of figure out what they're saying here. They're looking for a community that welcomes them, and the implication, at least, is that they don't feel that Seattle on the whole is welcoming to them.
Was I fair to you? I was asking you what Seattle should do, and you were talking about Seattle and Amazon engaging with each other for more creative solutions. Is there something else that you think Seattle ought to proactively do about
yes.
its relationship with Amazon?
I think step number one would be to submit its own proposal in response to this request for proposal.
Seattle should make a bid.
As at least a symbolic move. Now, I don't think that should include the letter of the tax breaks that they're looking for. I think that could be another way to make a statement to them that this is not how we roll here. But
a bid that doesn't include the incentives
yes,
that they're asking.
Absolutely. And see what else they get. There are a very small fraction of cities around the country that can actually afford the kinds of tax breaks that Amazon would want. And I think there's a way to engage with them. And that's what I'm asking for, is the city and the company to work together to figure this stuff out.
Todd, your money is still on Toronto, right?
I still believe it'll be geographic diversity and international diversity that they'll go for.
Susan? And I predict it'll be a no income tax state, probably a right to work state. Texas, Florida, Tennessee would be high on the list.
But would you want to do anything? Why not let Texas be Texas and have let Seattle? Seattle has benefited so much from Amazon already. Could this be the sweet spot where we don't want 50,000 more jobs in the city? We just want what we have, if that.
Well, I think Bellevue should put in a response to the RFP. I think Tacoma. Pierce County. It's a great place to live and work.
The problem is that's the same job market, essentially. And I think one of the things they're trying to accomplish here is to tap into a different labor pool.
Would Canada be unpatriotic?
I just don't see it as more desirable than the work environment in a number of other cities in the country.
You know, I know you've said, Susan, that you think Amazon will go to a more, I don't know if you use the word conservative area, but I thought about you because I saw that on Amazon's list was mass transit, which Republicans tend to oppose. Any thoughts?
I love mass transit.
They even mentioned bike lanes. Amazon, yeah. Tell us where your bike lanes are.
Yeah, I love mass transit, but I don't like the waste that we are seeing with Sound Transit, and everybody sees it. It's one of the biggest problems in the region right now. People feel totally snookered by their cost overruns, the demands for higher and higher taxes for mass transit, which will be out of date by the time it's finished. It's just, it's sickening how the people of this region are being taxed for mass transit boondoggle. And remember, nobody who runs mass transit has been elected. That whole board is a non-elected board, and it's just a travesty. And that's what Republicans object to.
Councilmember Sawant, have you ever had a conversation with an Amazon executive?
I'm happy to if they want to, if they're listening and they want to have a conversation, I'm happy to.
Okay,
but I think, Bill, you brought up a very relevant point. I mean, you said, let Texas be Texas and Seattle can be Seattle. I think that therein lies the problem. I mean, the problem is that as long as working people accept this vision where, as long as there's a state or a country even where labor laws are weaker than they are in Seattle, the workers are in much worse off condition than they are in Seattle or in other better off cities. As long as there is such a place that companies can move to and make their profits, they will do so. So the reality is that we have to move away from that kind of insular vision and understand that this sort of perverse bidding war that starts between cities and states and indeed countries to attract corporations so that corporations can make their profits at the expense of the living standards of working people, that doesn't work. And so the only alternative to that is to do the opposite of that, is that for working people to build mass movements, fight to unionize everywhere, whether it's South Carolina or Washington State, all Boeing workers should be unionized. All workers should be unionized. And we have to argue for democratic public ownership because we do. Because the only alternative to democratic public ownership is what we have today, which is cities, states, and entire nations, the whole world being held hostage to for the profit
of a few
people.
In a lot of countries around the world. For 70 years, they tried it in the Soviet Union. It didn't work.
Okay, we got to pause there. Seattle City Council Member Shama Sawant, thank you for coming in. State Republican Party Chair Susan Hutchison, we've already talked about stock ownership, and thank you for coming. We really appreciate it. Todd Bishop, last question, is Amazon going to buy Nordstrom?
Jury's still out. It's certainly.
I'm hearing rumbles.
There's an analyst who says that would be next after Whole Foods. The answer to almost every question involving Amazon is yes.
Susan, would you feel any different if Amazon bought Nordstrom?
You know what? I'm a consumer, and I'm a prime Amazon user.
Uh-huh.
I love Amazon. I love how it's revolutionized retail. And I think everybody in the retail sector is beginning to catch up. Competition is great. And there will be a leveling out with Amazon where it is not king of the road anymore because others will catch up. Walmart's working to catch up with Amazon and innovation.
I think Ms. Hutchison's vision of what's happening right now with the status quo is completely out of touch with reality, and which is why you've seen that the vast majority of working people, especially young people, are rejecting the status quo and actually want to fight inequality, want to fight corporate politics. And that is what you're seeing at the political level, too. You're seeing those shifts. And so I would not wait for the Republicans, certainly, and not even corporate Democrats to get in touch with reality.
Really like
I would urge that workers build mass movements.
The conversation will continue. Susan Hutchison, Councilmember Shama Sawant, GeekWire co-founder Todd Bishop, all having the same conversation maybe you're having at home. How should we feel about Amazon? What should Seattle do now? We'll keep following it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you,
Bill.
KUOW's The Record. We'll be back in just a moment.